From WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, August 15th. Coming up, infectious disease experts are keeping a close eye on pediatric cases of monkeypox. We'll learn more from Farah Yousri of Side Effects Public Media coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. The residential simulation lab at the University of Illinois' Springfield campus has been training new investigators for the state's Department of Children and Family Services since 2016. But DCFS and the lab are at odds over why that contract has ended. Hannah Meisel has more.
Betsy Goulet, who coordinates UIS's Child Protection Training Academy, claims the university didn't want to renew its contract with DCFS because the state refused to intersperse more time in the lab during new investigator training.
It is critically important that they feel confident about the procedures and about engaging with families in crisis.
Governor J.B. Pritzker had a different explanation. He accused the lab of refusing to follow the state's diversity hiring plan and painted UIS as a bad faith negotiator who objected to DCFS's plan to build out similar labs at other universities.
We have DCFS workers that need to get trained all over the state.
But without UIS's lab, investigator training is temporarily concentrated in the northern part of Illinois, with labs in Chicago and DeKalb. Another will open in Carbondale next year. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Illinois Congressman Raja Krishnamurti recently returned from a trip to Taiwan where he talked about semiconductor chips. He joined House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and other federal lawmakers in pitching the U.S. as a viable candidate for chip production.
Hopefully we can land some investment over time in Illinois because it would be an excellent destination for any company to do business, but especially ones in the semiconductor space, given the concentration of talent and physicists, our access to water.
Taiwan is home to the largest chip manufacturing company in the world, which produced 63% of the world's chip supply last year. President Joe Biden recently signed the CHIPS Act into law. It earmarks $50 billion for semiconductor chip production in the U.S. The massive Inflation Reduction Act includes tax dollars for Black, Brown, and other farmers traditionally discriminated against by the federal government. Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin has details.
$4 billion in debt relief was originally promised to farmers who've been discriminated against by the Department of Agriculture. Now, amid a long legal battle over that aid package and criticism about aid based on race, the Inflation Reduction Act cuts the aid to $3 billion for, quote, distressed farm borrowers of any race, and $2 billion for discrimination by the USDA. John Boyd Jr. is the president of the National Black Farmers Association. He says debt relief can save a farm.
Debt relief can provide a whole new start for a farmer who's behind on his debts or owes USDA monies or operating loans, equipment loans.
Without it, he says, farmers of color will continue to lose farmland to overwhelming debt. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom.
Another new apartment building could be coming to the campus town area of Champaign. The News Gazette reports that the city could soon sell a lot it owns at the corner of 3rd and Stoughton Streets to the University Group. The Champaign City Council will vote tomorrow night on a proposal to name University Group as the developer of record for the half-acre property, which would give the company exclusive rights to negotiate with the city on a purchase price. University Group has proposed buying the lot for $1.65 million. That's well under an appraisal the city received earlier this year for nearly $3 million. But it's 40% more than what the company offered the city for the same property 4 years ago. University Group currently has more than 2,000 apartments in the campus town area and has added about 400 units over the past few years. Their proposal for this property is to build a seven-story building with more than 80 units. Still to come, we'll take a closer look at the possibility of monkeypox cases among children as they begin to head back to school. We'll learn more from Side Effects Public Media coming up next on 217 Today.
The 21st is where Illinois gathers for news, information, and daily conversation on politics, the pandemic, culture, and everything in between. I'm Brian Mackey, inviting you to join the conversation anytime, day or night, by leaving us a voicemail. The number is 217-300-2121, and we might play it on air. Then tune in Monday through Thursday at 11 a.m. on AM 580 and 6 p.m. on FM 90.9.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. A handful of monkeypox cases have occurred among children in the U.S., and some parents may be concerned as kids prepare to head back to school. To learn more, SideFX Public Media's Fada Yousry spoke with Dr. Christina Bryant. She's a pediatrician and professor of infectious diseases at the University of Louisville.
Based on cases of monkeypox in Africa, there is a concern that young children could be at higher risk for severe disease, as well as children who have immunocompromising conditions or underlying skin conditions like eczema or atopic dermatitis. However, I think something to emphasize is that worldwide, there have now been thousands of cases of monkeypox as part of this outbreak, and very few cases in children.
So can you talk about the CDC guidance and what it says for handling monkeypox cases in children?
You know, the treatments are really similar to what we do for adults. Let's talk a little bit about prevention first. We all know that adults who have a close contact with monkeypox can be offered vaccine. Typically now people are being offered the Jynneos vaccine. That vaccine is approved for individuals who are 18 and older, but the CDC tells us that that vaccine can be offered to younger children as part of an expanded access investigational new drug protocol. Their parent will just need to be educated about the risk and the benefits of the vaccine.
Kids are now going back to school and, you know, they touch everything. Should we expect an increase in cases among children?
You know, there might be an increase in cases just because cases in adults in the U.S. are still climbing. And some of those adults may live in households with children. And we know that this virus is spread through close contact, including the kind of close contact that happens in normal households. However, I don't think we need to worry right now about a big increase in cases because kids are going back to school, for example. Schools and daycares have protocols for managing kids who are sick, including kids with rashes. And so I think those protocols will really help limit the spread of monkeypox in these kinds of settings.
And in terms of, you know, symptoms and presentation, what should parents look for?
The CDC has pointed out that the rash of monkeypox can look like a number of different illnesses that are common in children. So hand, foot, and mouth disease, or molluscum, or even some allergic rashes, or chickenpox. All of these are much more common causes of rashes in children than monkeypox. And so right now, I really don't think that parents need to be alarmed.
So, you know, as cases rise and infections spread across the country, what's your advice to parents? How can they protect their kids?
We don't have a lot of information about the pediatric cases that have happened in the U.S., but the preliminary information released by the CDC was that they suspected household transmission. And so I think one thing that parents can do to protect their children is just to be aware of their own health conditions. Parents who develop symptoms of monkeypox, particularly parents who have risk factors for developing monkeypox, should be forthright with their child's pediatrician about risk factors. And if they have concern that their children have been exposed to monkeypox through household contact, they should share that with their pediatrician.
That's Dr. Christina Bryant, professor of infectious diseases at the University of Louisville. She spoke with SideFX Public Media's Fada Yousry. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see partly cloudy skies today with a high of 80 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Mawa Iqbal, Dana Cronin, and Fada Yousry. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.